Okay, welcome back everyone to our Daf a Week class. We are on Daf Hey Amel Aleph in Maseches Chagiga. Okay, that's the one wasn't muted for a second. Okay, good. So yeah, we're up to Daf Hey Amel Aleph in Maseches Chagiga. We are, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down from the top of the page. The first word on the line is Chalufei, and that was the last word that we did last time. We're up to Rabbi Yochanan. So tonight we're going to have a number of additional mentions of people who read certain psukim and they cried about them. Remember, that's where we left off last time, and so we're still smack in the middle of that. And in particular, we're going to have a lot of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to have several psukim that make him cry in particular. And then once we do that, we're going to come on a very famous daf, or a very famous amud on Hayim and Beis that has many famous gemaras, specifically the gemara that talks about how Hashem cries three times every day. There's a lot to do over here, so hopefully we'll get to the end of the amud, but if not, we'll may have to stop a little early, but we'll do the best we can for tonight. But okay, let's begin. Again, 10 lines down from the top, and we're on the second word of the 10th line. Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahay kra bachi. So when Rabbi Yochanan would reach a certain pasuk, he would cry. Which pasuk would he reach? Which pasuk would he cry about? So it says the pasuk, "Vatisiseni bo levbalo chinam." Right. So the pasuk. So it means, "And you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Says the Gemara, "Evid sharabu masitin lo v'niseit." If you have a servant whose master is incited against him, and he allows himself to be who is incited, and he allows himself to be incited against his slave, so it's a kanagishlo. Is there ever a remedy for him? So this pasuk is specifically for from Sefer Iyov, and so Iyov had bad things happen to him because of the, as the pasuk says, from incitement that the Satan gave to Hashem. The Satan said, "You know, is Iyov really as bad as he? Is he really as good as you think he is?" So he incited, and what happened? Hashem listened. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan reaches this pasuk, and he says, "How sad is this?" He starts crying. Unbelievable! The master over here, he knows his servant so well, and he has someone outside inciting him, but he listens to that incitement. So how sad is that? That it becomes incited. So we're going to have this idea of takana yeshlo. Is there a remedy for this kind of a person? All right, meaning it's just another way of saying this is so depressing because there's no sort of a remedy for this person. Okay, Vaiter, Rabbi Yochanan kimati lahay kra bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach another pasuk, he'd cry. What was the pasuk? Hein b'kdushav lo ya'amin. The pasuk says, "Behold, he cannot have any faith even in his holy ones." And then that says the Gemara, "Ibk dushav lo yamin b'man yamin." If he can't have any faith in his holy ones, then who in the world could he have faith in? So that's the teaching over here. How sad is that? That if he can't have faith in his most trusted ones and the tzaddikim and the Torah scholars, etc., then who can he actually have faith in? Says the Gemara Vayter, "Yom achad hava ka azil beorcha." One day, Rabbi Yochanan he was going out on a journey. Chazialahu lehahu gavra the hava minaket tani, and he saw there was a guy who was picking some figs off a tree. Shavik hanach dematu, and now which figs was he taking? So he would leave the figs that were ripe, v'shakil hanach delomatu, and he would take those ones that were not ripe. So that's an interesting. It's an odd thing to do. If you're harvesting some fruit, you think that you would harvest the fruit that is ripe and not the one that isn't ripe. So Amar Leis, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, "Lav hani malin tfei." He says, "Isn't it better if you take the ones that are ripe?" Amar Leis, so he says back to him, "Hani la orcha ba'inan lehu." He says, "No, I need these for a journey." And "Hani natrin v'hani lo natrin." Right, the ones that aren't ripe, these are the ones they're going to keep for a while. The ones that are ripe, by the time they get to deep into the journey, then they're going to go bad. So he says, "I'm going to bring the ones that aren't ripe because those are the ones they're going to keep, and the ones that are ripe they won't keep, so I won't bring them." Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan says, "Hano dechtiv." I believe it's Rabbi Yochanan says, "Hano dechtiv hin begdushav lo yamin." This is exactly what the pasuk is saying. That Hashem can't even have faith in his holy ones. What in the world does that actually mean? So it says Rashi. So Hatov, where it's three lines into the skinny lines of Rashi. Hatovos yira pen yirkavu af habachurim hatzadikim nechazin lamisa pen yachatu. Right, there's this idea that even the there's this idea that even the ones that aren't ripe, meaning the young tzaddikim, so Hashem has to kill them early because there's a chance that they might sin. And that's basically the metaphor that we're alluding to over here. If you pick the ripe figs, then they're going to end up going bad. So you have to pick the figs that aren't ripe, meaning when you have tzaddikim, you have to kill them before they get older, because if you kill them when they're older, then they'll already have sinned. But if you take them before they're ripe, if you take them before they're older, then you'll make sure that they won't sin. So how sad is that? Meaning that's what the pasuk is saying. How sad is it that Hashem can't even trust in His holy ones? That's the metaphor that's going on over here. So it says in Gemara, Eni, is this really so that Hashem needs to take those ones who die early, and that Hashem really can't trust in His faithful ones? But v'haha hu tamida dehava b'shivavose de Rebbe Alexandre v'shachiv azutar. So there was once a student who was living in the neighborhood of Rebbe Alexandre, and this student of his, he passed away young. The Amar, and Rebbe Alexandre said about him, Ibai Haime Rabbanan Havachayai. He says that had this young rabbinic student, if he would have followed a more righteous path, then he would have lived. So says the Gemara, if he was really correct over here, but maybe he was one of the holy ones, maybe he was one of the faithful ones that Hashem wasn't able to trust in. Meaning, has Rabbi Alexandre know that the reason why this young student died was because he wasn't doing the right thing? Maybe he died because he was one of the people doing the right thing, but sometimes Hashem takes even the people who aren't doing the right thing. We are up to, let's see, we're like in the middle of the Amud on Hey Amud Aleph. Let's see, the first word in the line is Ya'amin. It's like really smack in the middle. Can you see it? Any help? Good, okay, great. All right, so that was his question. So that's the Gemara's question. So if it's really true what Rabbi Yochanan had said, this teaching, this idea that you can't trust in Hashem's faithful ones, and that's why sometimes tzaddikim have to die early because you're worried that they're going to sin. So how does Rabbi Alexandre know that he should have been a better person, this guy, and maybe he was just a really great person, but Hashem took him early? And so isn't this a disproof then for what Rabbi Yochanan says? So says the Gemara, no, Hahu mebait berabosav hava. No, he was someone who used to rebel against his teachers, and that was a known thing, or Rabbi Alexander used to know that. So that's how he said, that's how he was able to say that this guy died because he wasn't a good person, because he wasn't a proper Talmud. True, it could be that even if he was a proper Talmud, he could have died, but that's not the point. Rabbi Alexander knew that the reason why he was killed was not because he was such a great person and Hashem wanted to make sure he didn't sin, rather he knew that he was already a sinner, and that's why Hashem took him. Okay, another pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan ki mate lahai kra bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach the following pasuk, he would cry. What was the pasuk? V'karavti aleichem l'mishpat v'ayisi ad memaher b'mechshafim v'menafim v'neshbayim l'sheker v'oshki schar sachir. So says the pasuk over here, and I will draw near to you for the judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, and against those who extort the wage of the worker. So says the Gemara, Eved Sherahu Mekarvo Ledono Mimahir Lehaidu. If you have a servant who his master brings him close to judgment, and he's like quick to testify against him, if that's how the master treats his own slave, then Takana Yishlo, will we ever have a remedy for that? And how sad is that? How difficult is that? Right? That Hashem, that's what the pasuk is saying, that Hashem is going to judge us, and Hashem is going to testify against us, basically. That's what the pasuk is saying, and how sad is that? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes in and he says, "Oy lano sheshakel alino hakasav kalos kechamuros." So how sad is it? So not only is it that our master is testifying against us and he's judging us, but also that how terrible is it that the lighter sins are equated with the heavier sins? And what are the lighter sins and what are the heavier sins? So you have at the end of the pasuk the idea of like not paying the worker on time. So that the fact that that's related to other sins, like for example doing kishuf and doing adultery and swearing falsely. So how difficult is that? How sad is that? Woe unto us that we are compared to that these sins are compared to those. Amar Reish Lakish, says the Gemara further, Kol ha-mate dino shel ger, kilu mate dino shel mala. Anyone who perverts. And so now that we're talking about some judgment, let's talk about some other judgments. Rav Shlakish says, anyone who perverts the judgment of a ger, meaning you mess up his judgment, you whatever, it's you rule incorrectly on purpose. So it's as if you have perverted the judgment of the one above, meaning you're like messing with the word of God, essentially. Shenemar, umate ger, right? And which means, and like those who pervert the ger, umatik siv, and says the Gemara, you really, even though it says umate ger, right, those who pervert the judgment of the ger, you create it as umati, which means, and you pervert me, meaning God speaking, as if you're perverting me, myself, meaning God speaking, saying that you're perverting him. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa kol ha'osa davar umitcharit bo mochlu no miyare. So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa says, anyone who does something, that he does a sin, and he immediately regrets doing that, then he's forgiven immediately. Shenemar velo yiruni, because it says, and they don't fear me, meaning ha yiruni mochlin lehem yad. If you do fear me, however, so if you don't fear me, then fine, then you're gonna have a terrible fate. But if you do fear me, then what's the inverse? What's the implication? Then you will be mochlin lehem yad, and God's gonna forgive you immediately if you fear Hashem and you regret your sin. Rabbi Yochanan ki mati lehai krabach. Another pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan would get to, and he would cry. What was that pasuk? Ki et kol maaseh elokim yaviba mishpat al kol ne'alam. For every action which man does, God will bring into judgment, even concerning every hidden matter. Says the Gemara further, Eved Sharabu Sherabo Shokelo Shigagos Kazdonos. So you have a servant whose master, he weighs those accidental sins equally to his purposeful sins. Takana Yishlo, is there any takana? So what are the accidental sins? So that the accidental sins is that the pasuk says even concerning the hidden matters, meaning if there are sometimes when I make a mistake, when a person sins and they don't even realize they're sinning. It happens all the time. Sometimes we don't know kola tora kula. Sometimes a person can violate Shabbos, a person can violate so many halachos without even realizing it, and that's hidden from someone. That's called a shogig. That's called an accident. And says the pasuk that basically Hashem's going to judge us not just for the purposeful things that we do that we know we're doing wrong, but also for the accidental things that we do that we don't know that are wrong, even those that Hashem equates the two. He's going to judge us for both of those. So they're takana yeshel. So is there any remedy for someone like that, that their master treats them in such a harsh way? My al kol ne'lam, what does it mean on all the things that are hidden? Amarav zeh ha'horeg kina b'fnei chaviro v'nim asba b'shmul amar zeh Harak b'fnei chavir b'nimas. Unbelievable, says Rav and Shmuel. So what does it mean for something that I didn't realize that was wrong, but something that was hidden from me? According to Rav, that's, let's say you kill a louse, Maria Kinim or lice, and Kina is a louse. So let's say you kill a louse, like, you know, you see a mosquito flying around, and you go, you know, you get it, you kill it right there, but then someone's watching, someone's sitting in front of you, and like, oh, that's disgusting. Who catches a fly with their hands? So even that, says Rav, that's what it means when it was something that's hidden from you. You don't even realize how that what you did was wrong. You don't even realize that you offended that person, but even that's something that's considered hidden from you that Hashem's going to judge you for. And Shmuel is saying, let's say you spit in front of someone. So it's not so common in our culture nowadays to spit, so I think most of us would be offended if someone spit in our face. Although, of course, we do know people, we've seen people that do spit on the streets, which is always something that baffled me. But someone who spits on the street, they spit in front of someone, and you could offend or disgust someone next to you. And again, that's according to Shmuel, something else that's hidden from myself. I don't realize that I'm offending them, but nonetheless, I'm going to be judged for such a thing. My im tov v'im ra. So the Gemara doesn't quote this part of the pasuk, but the continuation of the pasuk is that Hashem's going to judge us for all these things, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. A good thing or a bad thing. What is God going to judge us for? A good thing, says the Gemara. Amre devei Rabbi Yana. They say in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yana, this means sometimes God will judge you for good things that you do, because sometimes you'll do good things, but there'll be a little bit bad in them. What are those little bit bad things? So this is one example according to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, is someone who gives tzedakah to a poor person in public. Kihad de Rabbi Yanai, just like that which Rabbi Yanai said, or that which occurred with Rabbi Yanai, chazi lehu gaber, that he saw a man, de kayahib zuze lani befer hesia, that he saw some man give some tzedakah to a poor person in public. Amarle mutav delo yahavasle. He says to him, it would have been better that you didn't give it to him at all. Mehashta dehavdale v'kasavte, because you gave it to him and you humiliated him, right? You gave the poor guy, very nice, you gave him $1 million, but you gave it to him in front of everyone else, and now everyone knows he's poor. And because of that, that's an example of a good thing that you did, There was some bad in it, and so God's going to judge you for something like that. The Beir Rabbi Shila Amrei and Rabbi in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shila, they say Zeha no Saint Tzedaka Liisha Beseser Dekai Maisei La Lidichashta. Another example is when you give tzedaka to a woman in private, or you go into seclusion with her, you give her some tzedaka, because that's going to come to bring her to be suspect, right? It's going to look odd. Everyone saw this woman go into yichud, whatever, with this guy who's giving her tzedaka. She's going to come out, and a few days later, she's going to be spending all this money. People are going to assume the worst. She was desperate. She was poor. Now she's wearing a Dolce & Gabbana. I don't know what Dolce & Gabbana makes. She has a Dolce & Gabbana bag or whatever. That's going to look very suspicious, and people are going to assume, oh yeah, remember that time that she was with that guy a week ago? They're going to assume that it's because maybe she did something, God forbid, immoral, and he paid her for it. And therefore, even though it was just a totally harmless act, since there was some chashash, you're going to make her be suspect, so therefore people are going to, that's a good thing. That really has some bad in it, so God will judge you for that. Rava Amar, Zeha HaMeshagir Ishto Basar She'ino Mechutach Barbe Shabaso. So there's something called Basar She'ino Mechutach, which means meat that is not cut. Literally, it means it's not like the roast that isn't cut before. It's that you have a piece of meat that is not taken out, all the sinews and all the fats that should not be in there, they're not taken out. So a person needs to sit there, and they have to understand the halachos, and they have to take the time to take these things out. So someone who does a good thing that's really a little bit bad, according to Rava, is someone who sends his wife this meat that doesn't have all the bad stuff taken out of it on Erev Shabbos. Because no way, says Rashi, that she's going to have time to sit down. She doesn't know the halachos, so she's going to sit down and start taking out all the bad things. She has no idea. She's just going to assume that it's good because you sent it to her 2 hours before Shabbos. She's going to cook up that meat real quick. What do you know? You're going to see that you're violated a prohibition over here, because you're going to have to eat this meat, and everyone will be sad. She'll be sad she messed up the food, and you'll be sad because you violated a prohibition, and therefore that's someone who does something good, but there's a little bit bad in it. Baha Rava Meshagir, but says the Gemara, whoa, Rava says he can't do this. He did it himself, right? He sent this type of meat to his wife on Erev Shabbos, 2 hours before Shabbos. He said, honey, I'm home. Here's this meat that it's not at all prepared. You need to check it. You need to take out the prohibited fats and stuff. Says the Gemara, no. Shani Bas Rav Chista to Kimle Begava de Bekia. No, so it's different in the case of Rava, because Rava, who was he married to? He was married to the daughter of Rav Chista, and he knew already. She knew Kol Turkul. I don't know if she knew Kol Turkul. She knew a lot. She was a Tamidah Chachama, so she understood how to prepare meat, even if it wasn't made properly. And so the second she saw it, she received it in the mail. I don't know how he was sending it. I don't know. He sent it to her in some way, and she got it. She says, oh man, sweetie, you sent me non-cut meat. But she knew immediately, and therefore she'd be able to fix it. So there was no concern with him doing it. But then in a regular case where the average woman does not have such skills and such Torah knowledge, it's not a good thing to do. Okay, more psukim. Rabbi Yochanan ki mati lahai krav bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach the following pasuk, he would cry, which pasuk? V'hayak ki timtzu'un oso ra'us rabos v'tzaros. Right, and it shall be that many evils and distresses come upon him. Eved sherabo mamtzi lo ra'us v'tzaros. So a servant who his master brings upon him evils and stresses, takana yeshlo, does he ever have a remedy for that? Says the Gemara, wait, my ra'us v'tzaros. What are the stress? What are the evils and the distresses that are being brought upon? That are being brought upon someone, it's basically what the Gemara is saying. How do we define like evils and stresses? So Amarav, what we're saying over here, what this actually means is Ra'os Shanaosos Saros Zolozo. It's when you have, there's sometimes when two bad things, because they come together, they make each other worse. So like one bad thing is bad enough as is, but then the second bad thing comes, and because of that second bad thing, you can't even have a remedy to the first thing. The Gemara will explain what the example is in a second, and therefore as a result, that's the evils and distresses. You're gonna have two bads that will compound one another to make each other worse. Kigon, for example, zibura v'akrava. When a person gets a bite from a wasp and a person gets a bite from a scorpion at the same time or right after each other, so in such a situation, so let's take a look at Rashi. It's about, I don't know, 15 lines up from the bottom of Rashi. The last words in the line are zibura v'akrava. So says Rashi, nakitachid, why is this such a good example? We chose this. Mishum, damrina v'mesechas avodah zarah. beperek in mamidin. Chamime la krava. How does one heal a scorpion bite? You get some warm water. Vekariri the zibura. And how does one heal a wasp bite? You get a wasp bite. You get some cold water. And therefore, vechilufa sakanta hilkach hecha the nechte zibura vakrava naso sarazulazo. But when you get bit from a wasp and a scorpion at the same time, to leisle takanta lo bekriri dekasha leakrav lo bechamimi dekasha lezibur. You can't use in either of these waters. You can't use the warm water because the warm water will hurt the wasp bite. You can't use cold water because the cold water will hurt the scorpion bite. So therefore, these are two bads. These are two evils that come together and they make each other worse because they come together. Fine. Moreover, v'shmuel amar zeha mamtzi lo maus loani b'shas dochko. This seems to be it's a little bit out of place, and so it's a little unclear. It's machlokos, I believe, Rashi Tosos, what this statement is doing over here. But at least according to Rashi, my understanding is that Shmuel is giving another example, not what we just said, not about the raos and the tsaros, but rather the previous idea of a good thing that a person does that is a little bit bad. And Shmuel says this is someone who brings money to an ani in his shas dechak. Meaning the fact that you're bringing an ani when he's like on the street and he's like dying already because he's starving to death, that's not a good thing. I mean, it's very nice that he did that, I guess, but ultimately it's a little bit bad. He should have given it to him a little bit earlier. So this is an example of something else that's good, but it's not so great also. Amar Rava, Hainu Damar Yinshe, he says, this is what the people of the world say, Zuza le'alala lo shchichad le'tlisa shchich, that a zuz is not available to purchase produce, but for food to hang in a basket it can be found. Meaning sometimes people spend money on stupid things. They say, listen, I'm going to go here and there. I'm going to buy all these beautiful things and all this incredible stuff. And so my food, my money is just going to hang somewhere. And meanwhile, there's this guy suffering on the street. Only like a few weeks or a few months or a few years later, I wake up and I see, oh, wow, I probably should give this poor guy some money. And then I give it to him. But in the meantime, it was hanging around. It wasn't being used properly. And that's a bad thing for a person to do, to allow themselves to walk into that trap, to only pay an ani, pay a poor person when they're very destitute. Okay, Vayter, so how do we conclude the pasuk that we started above? So the pasuk that we were saying earlier, what is this? Oh, right. Okay. So we quoted a pasuk above that was in Devarim, and then now this is another pasuk that we have in Sefer Devarim in that same perek, just a few pasukim earlier. So it says the Gemara v'chara api bo bayom, that my anger will flare against them on that day. Hahu, against him on that day. V'azavtim, and I will forsake them. V'hastarti panai mehem, and I will hide my face from them. So Amarav Bardula Bar Tivyome Amarav Kosheino Behester Panim Inomehem, a beautiful line of the Gemara, very like deep and existential. So that anyone who doesn't experience God's face hiding from them in this world, Inomehem, is not really considered part of the Jewish nation. Meaning, part and parcel of what it means to be a Jew is sometimes you do experience Hester Panim. When you have someone who's part of the other nations of the world, when Hashem is not as directly involved and doesn't care as much about them as he does the Jewish nation, so with them, so Hashem, sometimes he's revealed, sometimes he's not revealed, but never is he hidden. There's no such thing as Hester Panim when it comes to the other nations. Only the Jewish nation is Zoche, as crazy as it sounds, is Zoche to the level of Hester Panim, meaning we recognize when God is here, or when his face is hiding from us, we notice such a thing. So only the Jewish nation, only someone, if someone never experiences Hester Panim, that means they're not Jewish. Only the Jewish nation experiences Hester Panim, God's face hiding from them. And then furthermore, Kol She'ino B'V'Haya Le'echol Inu Mayhem, and furthermore says the pasuk that anyone who doesn't experience the idea of the Hayala Chol Mayhem, and he will be for consumption, anyone who doesn't experience that is not really from them as well. This pasuk means over here that there are Odei Avodah Zarah, there are non-Jewish nations that they loot the Jews. So if someone doesn't experience any looting, if someone doesn't experience any sort of thievery on behalf of the idol worshippers that they're stealing from you, that they're looting from you, then you're not really from the Jewish nation. Now we're on the top of Hey Amid Beis, third word on the line. Amru le Rabbanan le Rava. The rabbis say to Rava, Mar lo behester panem, yisei velo behaya lechul, say? They say, listen, Master, Rebbe, Rava, you know, you have never, you don't experience Hester Panim, and you also haven't experienced any non-Jewish people or any Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're not, no one's looting you, so you're not Jewish? Amar Lehu, he says, then no. Mi Diaso Kama Mishadrana Bitsina Beishavar Malka. So he doesn't address the first one. He doesn't address the idea of Hester Panim so much, but what he does address is, he says, he's like, do you guys have any idea how much money I send over in private to Shavuot the king over here? I send him so much money. I bribe him. I give him all this money. He won't leave me alone. So he says to them, basically, you don't understand how that I am essentially being stolen from, because I do it privately. But it's a terrible thing. I lose money all the time because I'm being looted from. So don't tell me that I'm not being consumed. So says the Gemara. But afilu hachi, nonetheless, yahavu bei rabbanan einayu. There's this idea that the rabbis, as they set their eye on Rava, they like almost like gave him like an ayin hara, if you will, and adahachi shador debay shavor malka vigarbuhu. And as a result, they sent an agent. An agent was sent from the palace of King Shavor, and they looted from him. They took some more money from him because of this. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava said, Haino detanya Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel. This is exactly what Rabban Shimon Gamliel said in that brisa. That kol makom shenasnu chachamim einehem, anytime the rabbis, the chachamim, the sages, whenever they place their eyes on someone, meaning whenever they give someone an ayin hara, like they just gave me, o misa o oni, either they become poor or they die. That's the result. So you never want to get in the rabbis' bad graces where they focus on you to this extent, because you'll get some sort of a result like this. Okay, weiter. Ve'anochi hester aster panai bayomahu, that I will conceal my face on that day. Amar Rava says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu afal pi shehistarti panai mehem. So even though Hashem says to the Jewish people that I have concealed my face from you, b'chaloma adaberbo, still I'm going to speak to you in a dream. How in the world do you get that? So the pasuk says, let's look at the pasuk again, go back a few lines. V'anochi hester astir panai bayom. I'm not going to appear to you during the day. Oh, what do you mean? But at night, I will appear to you. So Hashem, even when he hides his face from us, he still appears to us in our dreams. Rav Yosef Amar, final skinny line of the daf of the Amud, Rav Yosef Amar, Yado Netuya Aleinu, that still, even when Hashem's face is hidden from us, that his hand is still outstretched over us to protect us. Shene Amar, Uvitzel Yadai Kasisicha, right? And with the shadow of my hand, I will cover you. And that's what the pasuk means. Hashem protects us even when he is hidden from us. Rav Yishuv ben Chananya, Hava Kayu Bei Kesar. And one time, Rabbi Yishuv ben Hanani, he was standing in the house of the Caesar. Achave le hahu apikorsa. There was an apikores in there. So what's an apikores? It's a little bit unclear who we're talking about over here. But Rashi says the third line of the Y lines of Rashi, middle of the line, apikorsa. She'inam ma'aminam ledibre razal. So what's an apikores? Technically, it's just anyone who doesn't believe in the words of Chazal. Kigon Tzedukim, like the Tzedukim and the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the words of Chazal. So that's what this guy was. Evidently, it sounds like he was a Jewish person, but he was a Jewish individual who didn't fully believe in the words of the rabbis. Now, it could be also that when we say apikores, we just mean someone who's a heretic, who's not of the Jewish nation. It's unclear to me exactly over here if this person is part of the Jewish nation or if they're not. But nonetheless, there was a certain apikores who signaled over a chavilei hahu apikores. This apikores signaled to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Amad ahadrinu mare laape mine, right? So the nation of the Jewish people are a nation that Hashem has he's angry with them. He's turned his face from them. So achavile, then Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya signaled back to him, Yadona tu yalino. No, nonetheless, even though Hashem turned his face from us, Hashem is still protecting us. And understand, you'll understand this much more clearly in a second, but they didn't say anything to each other. This was not a conversation with words, it was a conversation with signals. I don't know how they signaled it, they used sign language, I have no idea, but they spoke to each other in such a way, using signaling and no words. Amar le Kesar le Rabbi Yeshua. All of a sudden, the Caesar of the palace comes by. Caesar says to Rabbi Yeshua, excuse me, Rabbi Yeshua, Ma'achavelach, what did that young apikores over there, I don't think he called him an apikores, but okay, what did that young man just signal to you? He says, he signaled to me as follows, Amad ha'drinu mare lape mine, that the Jewish nation has experienced Hashem turning his face away from us. And I signaled back to him that Hashem is still protecting and watching over us. His hand is still stretched out over us. And then the Caesar goes over to this min, to this heretic, and he says, what did that guy over there, what did he signal to you? What did you signal to him? He says, I signaled to him that Hashem's face is concealed, Hashem's face is turned away from the Jewish nation. Then he says, and he says, what did he then signal back to you? He says, Lo Yadana. He says, I have no idea what he said back to me. I was speaking to him. I know what I said to him, very clear, but I have no idea what he said back to me. I don't speak sign language. Amru, they said, Amru Gavra de Lo Yada Mai Machabu Le Bemachug. They said, what is this guy doing over here? How can we have such a guy in the palace that who doesn't speak sign language? Yechave Kamei Malka, but nonetheless, he's signaling before the king, meaning, how do we have this guy in the palace who's claiming to do sign language, but meanwhile he doesn't speak sign language, and he's still signaling in front of the king? And what's the problem with signaling in front of the king? Because if you signal and you have no idea what the words mean, then essentially you're just signaling, you look like an idiot, you're waving your hands, you look like a fool. And he says, and basically the idea is that you're being disrespectful to the king if you're signaling in the palace and you have no idea what any of these things mean. So therefore, what was he doing? He was disrespecting the king, he was disrespecting the Caesar by doing all the signaling, and therefore afkuhu v'kaluhu, they took him out of the palace and they killed him because he was being disgraceful to the king. Okay, Kika Nicha Nafshe, the Rebbe Yoshua ben Chananya, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, when he was about to pass away, Amrali Rabbanan, the rabbi said to him, "My tehavi alan meapikorsim." They said, "What are we going to do when we get attacks from apikorsim?" Meaning, evidently, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, his main role of that generation was that he was really good at responding to when any apikores would say something inappropriate or would try to challenge the Jewish nation. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, he was really good about standing up. He was the best of them all. So they said, "What are we going to do now that you're dying? It's clear you're on your deathbed. So what are we going to do once you're gone? How are we going to stand up to the apikorsim?" Amar lehem, he said to them, "Avda itza mi banim nisrucha chachmasam." Right, that the council has been, the pasuk says that the council has been lost from the children. Their wisdom has soured. Says the Gemara, what does this mean? Rabbi Shimon Chananya says, "Kevan sha'avda itza mi banim." Since the council is gone from the children, nisrucha chachmasam shal umos ha'ulam. Now that is an advocate, there was someone who knows how to respond to the apikorsim. Now that he is dead from the Jewish nation, so now the chachma, the wisdom, is also gone from the umas olam, from the other nations. Meaning, he's saying, "Don't worry, I'm gonna die, but what else is going to die along with me, according to the promise of the pasuk? Anyone who is ever going to attack the Jewish nation, there won't be any more apikorsim attacking the Jewish nation because I won't be here. Now, there might be some minor apikorsim that you guys could even stand up to," he says, "but to the caliber that I've put up with, they're all going to go away now." And the Gemara says, maybe there's a proof from this pasuk over here, that the same idea that the pasuk says, "Vayomer nasa v'nelcha ve'elcha lenegdecha," that Esav says to Yaakov, we're going to come up to that in a few weeks, "Travel on and let us go, and I will proceed alongside you." Meaning, there's this idea that the other nations will only ever be at best alongside us; they'll only maybe be equal to us. So no matter where we're at, they will at best be equal to where we're at. They will always be neged us. So they won't. Never. Evidently, Rabbi Shimon Chananya is saying that since I'm no longer going to be here, their best, if I'm the best, but I'm no longer here, then their best is going to go away, and they'll only have number two, and we still have number two. Okay. Rabbi Ila Havasalik Bidrega Debe Rabba Barshila. So Rabbi Ila was going up some stairs of the house of Rabba Barshila. Shame Leanuka the Havakari, and he heard that there was one of the children in the house, and he was reading a pasuk. What was the pasuk? Kihine Yotzer Harim Ubore Ruach Umagil Adam Ma Sicho. That Hashem, behold, Hashem forms mountains, and he creates wind, and he recounts. He tells over to a person what were his words. Amar, so Rabbi Ila now says, Avdu Sherabu, Eved Sherabu Magid Lo Masicho Takana Yeshlo. If the servant has a master and the master tells him what his conversations were, meaning not just the conversations that were that he had with the master, but the master, rather the master knows all. He knows all of the conversations that his servant had. So Takana Yeshlo, is there any remedy? Meaning if you say anything and the master is always holding you accountable, that's pretty difficult. You're always going to say something wrong. You're always going to slip up. So that's a pretty rough situation to be in. It says, "Ma sicho." What does it mean that the like we said, that the words that were hidden, what does this mean? So Rav says, Afilu sicha yaseira shabein ishla ishto, meaning Hashem even hears the words that a man speaks to the husband. Magidim lo la'adim b'sha'as misa, that they're told over to him, they recount it for him when he dies. At 120, even the intimate conversations that he has with his wife, those are told over to him. And this means also, specifically, that it seems like it's not a good thing to do. It's someone should not have intimate conversations, maybe even inappropriate conversations with their wife. That should never happen. Amy says, Gemara, what? Is this really so? But we know we have a story that we learned in Maseches Brachos. V'harav kahana hava gane tute puria derav. One of the most fascinating cases in all of Shas, in my personal opinion. Not that I've learned all of Shas, but one of the most fascinating cases that that anyone has probably ever seen. There's a case of Rav Kahana, who was a student of Rav, and Rav Kahana once went to lay under the bed of Rav while he was having marital relations with his wife. So v'shame v'asatzrachav. So what did Rav Kahana experience? So he saw that that Rav spoke with his wife, and that he joked around with his wife, and then they had relations together. Amar, so then, and so what did Rav Kahana say to Rav when he saw this? Dami pume derav, command a low time, late tafshila. He says, you're acting like someone who's never eaten food before. Meaning, you understand the mashal, right? You're acting like you never had relations with her. You're acting like you never had relations with your wife. You're speaking in such a inappropriate way, according to Rav Kahana says. So this is unbelievable. How are you speaking like this? What does Rav respond? Amrle Kahana puk. He says, get out of here. Lav orach ara. We don't act like this. We don't allow the Talmidim to come under the Rebbe's bed while they're having relations with their wife. And the way the Gemara in Brachos goes, he says that this is Torah, and v'lilmod ani tzarech, and I need to learn how the Torah works. So he says, I need to learn even things like marital relations. So that's why he does it. Nonetheless, Rav seems to not like this. And so he says, get out of the room. And so anyways, this is a challenge to what we just said. How was it that Rav was able to speak to his wife in this intimate, in seemingly quote unquote inappropriate way? So lo kasha, says Gemara, not a problem at all. We say that it's not appropriate when it's not necessary. Meaning, if it's not needed at all for the marriage, if it's not needed and you just want to do something inappropriate, then of course that's terrible. But if you're doing it because it's important for the marriage, it builds the relationship, she wants it, whatever, he wants it, it's something that's necessary, then in such a situation, then of course you could do it. It's only when it's not necessary and you do it. But when it's necessary, and again, we use necessary, I think necessary is interpreted lightly and not strict, like you have to determine, you have to make a formula, when is it right? When it's clear that it's that it's part of the relationship and it's important, then it's of course is okay. But if it's just you want to do it because you want to do something inappropriate, that is not going to be okay. Okay, weiter. V'im lo tishma'uha b'mistarim tivka nafshi mifnei gava, says the Pasuk, and if you do not heed this, then my spirit will cry in hidden chambers because of your haughtiness. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Ine Mishmei Derav Makom Yesh Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Mistarim Shmo. What is this pasuk trying to tell us? That there is a hidden chamber that Hashem has, and it's called Mistarim. My Mibnei Gava. What does it mean that God is going to cry in this hidden chamber because of our haughtiness? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Mibnei Gava San Shel Yisrael Shenit La Mehem. Hashem is crying because of the greatness, because of the exaltedness of the Jewish nation that was taken from them when they were put into exile. V'nisna lov de kochavim, was given over to the non-Jewish nations of the world. Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachmani Amar, no, b'nei ga'avasa shel malcho shemayim, because of the greatness of the kingship of Hashem that was removed, because of the exile. Umi ika b'chia kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What says the Gemara? Okay, fine. Now that you explained that pasuk, I have a much more fundamental question. Do we really have crying with God? Is there ever crying literally in the presence of God? Does that such a thing exist? V'ha'amar Rav Papa in atzivos l'vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Papa, what do you mean? Hashem has never said no such thing as sadness when it comes to Hashem. Shenemar hod v'hadar, glory and majesty l'fanav, before him, oz v'chedva, and might and delight b'mkomo, are in his place. Meaning, you have only good things, only beautiful, majestic, glorious, elaborate things. Nothing sad, nothing crying. We don't have such a thing with Hashem. Says Gemara, no, lo kasha. There's not a kasha. Ha bebate gavai, ha bebate bra'e. only in Hashem's inner chambers. In the inner chambers, that's where you find sadness, that's where you find crying, such a thing does exist. But in the outer chambers, there is this strong and important facade, if you will. Maybe facade is too strong of a word, but there is this outer chamber that only shows the strength and the might of God. So in the inner chambers, there's more of like a vulnerability, and there's more of a sadness. And the outer chambers, that's where you find the strength and all this other good positive stuff. Ubibate bra'ailo, and what do you mean? In the outer chambers, we don't ever see God crying, but v'haksid, the pasuk says, v'yikra Adonai Hashem Tzvakos b'yom ahu alivchi l'mispad l'karcha v'lachgor sak, that and Hashem, Master of Legions, on that day, he called like for crying and for eulogizing and for baldness and for wearing like sackcloth, right? So in other words, Hashem called out, it was his front-facing aspect of Hashem that was kevayachol, that was doing mourning, that was doing crying. So clearly we see that the outer chambers do have crying. Shani Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, no, that was true, that did happen once, but that was a very unique situation. Why? Because that was the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You don't get worse than that in terms of national destruction. The Afilu Malachei Shalom Bachu, that even the angels of peace, even they cried. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Hein Elim tzaku chutza malachi shalom mar yivkayon. Now the pasuk says that behold, for their altar they cried without, the angels of peace wept bitterly. Okay, we're still good here. People want to go a little bit more to the bottom of the Yamud? Thumbs up if you want to keep going, or thumbs up. Anyone? Yeah, thumbs up. Yeah. Okay, we'll do a little bit more. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara further. So vidama tidma. We're at the two dots. V'dama tidma v'tirid enei dima ki nishba idir Hashem. So the pasuk says, "And I shall surely weep, and my eyes will drip with tears, for the flock of Hashem is taken into captivity." Amar Rabbi Elazar shalosh dimaos halalu lama. Says Rabbi Elazar, why is it that the word dima? Why is the word tears? Why does it come up three times in the pasuk? So he says it's demonstrating three different things. Achas al mikdash rishon, achas al mikdash sheni, v'achas al yisrael shagalu mimkuman. So one tears represents the fact that the first base of English was destroyed. One was to represent that the second base of English was destroyed, and one has to represent the fact that Klal Yisrael was exiled from their hometown, from their place. V'ikad Amri, others say no. What was the third one? Achas al bitol Torah, that Hashem that there's tears for the fact that there's bitol Torah. So it says the Gemara, Bishlama l'man damar al Yisrael shagalu hanu dechtev kinish ba'ider Hashem. So we understand, according to the one who says that the third tier is about the fact that the Jewish people were exiled, because the pasuk says, for the flock of Hashem is taken into captivity. That's what the words kinish ba'ider Hashem. El lemanda amar al bitol Torah. But those who say that's bitol Torah that there are tears for, my kinish ba'ider Hashem. What does the pasuk mean when it says for the flock of Hashem is taken into captivity? Kevan says the Gemara, no. Kevan shegalu Yisrael mimkoman, because since the Jewish nation was exiled from their place, in the bitol Torah gadol mizeh, there is no greater cause of bitol Torah. So meaning it's specifically the bitol Torah, the fact that we're not learning Torah, that's associated with the fact that we are exiled. That's what the tears are about, and that's what the pasuk means. Okay, Vayter Tana Rabban, and the rabbis Tana Braisa Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Alein B'chol Yom. There are three people that Hakadosh Baruch Hu cries about every single day. Al she'efshar la'asok b'Torah ve'ino osik, those who are able to learn Torah but they don't learn Torah. Ve'al she'efshar la'asok b'Torah ve'osik, those who should not be learning Torah, or it's impossible for them to learn Torah, but they are osik. V'al parnei samis gaya latzibor, and for those communal communal leaders who behave arrogantly, like towards the tzibor with their congregation, they're not behaving in an appropriate way. Hashem cries for all these three people, and the middle case is one of the most fascinating ones. The middle case, that's the one that like the modern Orthodox people like to bring, because not everyone should be sitting and learning. This is the anti Kola line. Not everyone should be sitting and learning. There are some people that Hashem cries that they're learning because they shouldn't be learning. That's what the more moderate or the more left-wing people would say. The right-wing people would say no. That what does it mean that Hashem cries when people learn Torah? It means that that Hashem experiences the pain of those people who struggle learning Torah. He cries along with them. It's not a bad thing. These tears aren't bad tears. It's just that he's crying along with them. Okay, Weiter. Rebbe Hava Nukit Sefer Kinos. So Rebbe was one day, he was holding a Sefer of Kinos, right, Lamentations, the Ka Kari Begave, and all of a sudden, And also, he was reading from it. Ki mata lahay psuka, and when he reached the following pasuk, hishlich mishamayim eretz, that he cast down from the heavens to the earth, meaning the glory of Israel was cast down from the heavens to the earth. Nafal min yadei, so the book fell from his hands. Amar, he said, mi igra ram labira amikta, that from a high roof to a deep pit, meaning when he saw the book fall from his hands, he realized, wow, that was like a pretty big fall. Imagine what it's like if you fall from the sky to the earth. That's an even bigger fall. And so he was basically like lamenting and saying, wow, how big of a fall that actually was. Okay, we'll do a couple more lines. Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, Havu Shikle V'Azle B'Orachas. So Rebbe and Rebbe Chia were going on a journey together. Kimatu Lehu Masa. When they got to a certain city, Amri, they said to the people who were living there, they say, is there some young Torah scholar that we can come and just say, pay our respects, say hello to? Amre, they say, there is a Torah scholar here, but he is blind, just so you know. Amre, Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi, Tivat, he says, you stay here. Lo tezalzel b'nesio secha. He says, you are the Nasi, you are the current reigning Nasi in the world. And so far be it, it's so below your kavod, it's so below your honor to go visit this blind Torah scholar. So why is it below his honor? Well, the thought was that if he wasn't blind, then when they would have asked for him in the beginning, then maybe word would have gone back to the Torah scholar and he would have gone to greet Rebbe, and then Rebbe would then basically reciprocate that, so it would not be as bad. But over here, since he's blind, he's probably not going to go up by himself to try to greet Rebbe, so therefore he says, you don't go because it's going to be below your kavod to go visit him. Ezel Ana v'akbil apay. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna greet him. You wait here. Takfei v'azal b'hadei. He says, "What are you talking about? That's ridiculous. I disagree with you." And he disproved him, and so he went along with him. Kihavu miftere mine. And when they were going to leave, so they visited this nice, blind but incredible Torah scholar. And then when they were going to leave him, Amar Lehu, he said to them, "Atem hikbaltem panim hanirim ve'inan roin." He said, "You have greeted the face. You have greeted someone." You have greeted someone who is seen, but that they ain't on Rowan, but that he cannot see. Tis kulahakbil panim haroam ve ain't on nirin. So he says, you guys should be zochet to greet the face, to see Hashem, to be with Hashem, who he sees, but he is not seen. Meaning, you guys should get olam haba. Amar le. So now Rebbe says to Rebbe Chia, he says, "See, Rabbi Chiye, if I would not have come, you would have held back. I would not have gotten this amazing bracha. Baruch Hashem that I came." Amrule says back to him, they say to him, they said, "Where do you get such a concept? How did you learn such an idea that someone who greets someone gets such a reward for such a thing?" So he says, "Mipirka de Rabbi Yaakov Shmielia." He says, "I learned it from a certain class that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov once. The Rabbi Yaakov Ishkfar." Chitia, that the Rabbi Yaakov who came from Kfar Chitia, have a makbil apay de Rabbi Kol Yoma, that he used to greet his Rebbe every single day. Ki kash, but when Rebbe Yaakov became old, Amar le lo nitzdar mar, his Rebbe, who said, I guess his Rebbe was also old, but his Rebbe said, stop coming, you're old, it's de lo yachil mar, you're not able to come anymore, stop coming. Amar le said back to him, mi zutar ma dechtib behu berabanan. He says, is this really like a small thing? But it's said regarding the rabbis, v'yichi od lanetzach lo yira hashches ki yira chachamim yamusu, he will then live for eternity and never see the pit, for he sees wise men die. Umaharoa chachamim b'misasin yichye, and he basically expounds, just like so if someone who sees chachamim in their death, he's going to live b'chayeh, and if someone sees chachamim in their life, alach haskamim v'kam, of course they're going to get life, of course they're going to experience, I guess, either longevity, or they're going to experience olam haba, one of those things, or both of those things, and therefore that's the teaching that he learned. Okay, I think we'll stop right here. We'll pick up from this point next time. So for now, everyone should have a great night, and I'll see everyone next week.